Is there anybody familiar with the term doxology? Heard that before someplace? Kind of. It's considered a short hymn of worship. And we regularly sang a couple of them as I was growing up as a kid in the Methodist Church. And one of them is considered to be the doxology. Have you ever heard this little ditty? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Join me with your hymn voice. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Yeah, sang that. Amen. Not amen. Amen. Sure. How about this one? We sang this one, but it's also prayed in a lot of churches. Not as often sung, I don't think. But we sang it at 6th Avenue Methodist Church when I was a kid. It says, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, both now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. Yeah. I have a hymn voice. Not as good as it used to be. It's a little scratchy, but what's that? The word doxa in the Greek language, which most of you know is what our New Testament's written in, most of the New Testament, is the word for glory. Everybody say glory! Glory. Yeah. But it's not the only word translated glory in the scripture. And I found this interesting, especially since today I'm looking at a scripture that has glory twice, but it's not the same Greek word. See, there's doxa, which means glory, as in glory, the glory of God. And then there is, I want to see if I can say this right, kachomei. Yeah, you really care how it's pronounced anyway, right? Like you would even have an idea if I pronounced it wrong. Which is glory, kachomei, is glory that is given to God. So one is the glory that God already has, and the other one is the glory that we want to give to God. I bring this up because of these two words appear very close together, again, in this text today, and yet they have a different application. And the application of these words in your life, I think, could change your life. How many would go for a little improvement in life? I said it during the worship time. You know, He wants us to have life and that abundantly. And the word really there, abundantly, He wants us to have life and that more, is a good way to say it. God always wants to give us more. So Romans chapter 5, are you there? Verses 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith. Everybody say justified by faith. Justified by faith. We have peace. Everybody say peace. Peace. With God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom we also, everybody say also. Have access. Everybody say access.
Access.
Aren't you glad we have access? By faith into His, or into this grace. Everybody say grace.
Grace.
This grace in which we stand. Wow. That's a big deal. I could preach so long on this passage, but I'm getting to a certain place, so I don't want to stop on everything, but I'm going to highlight some things as we go here. So we have access by faith into His grace in which we stand. And rejoice in hope. Say rejoice.
Rejoice.
In hope.
In hope.
Of the glory. Everybody say glory.
Glory.
Of God. Yeah, that's the way I want you to say it. And not only that, but we also glory. Everybody say glory.
Glory.
Yeah. We also glory in, here's the good part, tribulations. Everybody say tribulations. Tribulations. Gotta love them. What? Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Everybody say hope again. I was waiting for somebody to say hope again. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Say, thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
For hope.
Hope.
By the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We didn't do anything to earn it. It was given to us. We just sang that song. Tom just sang that song. I don't deserve it. I can't earn it. I don't deserve it. You give yourself away. The reckless love of God. Today, I want to create a roadmap for you to have greater levels of hope. I'm going to give you some step-by-step things to do to have more hope in your life. And by the way, I believe the more hope you have in life, the more influence in your life, the more influence you have in life. Let me see if I can say that again without messing it up. I believe the more hope you have in your life, the more influence you have in life. People are drawn to people who are full of hope. So let's break this down. Are you ready? Let's start back at the very beginning again, verse 1. And I'm just going to take pieces of it. Therefore, having been justified by faith... Again, I want to remind you, this is not something you can somehow earn. So I'm not giving you a way to earn anything. I'm giving you a way to walk in it. Okay? Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves." I didn't do it. You didn't do it. "It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship." Everybody say, his workmanship.
His workmanship.
He's working on you. He's always working on you. He's doing something amazing in you. Let him cooperate. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Again, not strive to do them, but that we should walk in them. This should become a natural part of how we just live. Just the way we live. "I am not who I am in Christ because of anything I have done." And that's why he deserves the glory. Say glory.
Glory.
Come on. I know preachers who preach like that. Glory. Glory. Walk like a chicken. Okay. Reading on. "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Listen, I will try all sorts of ways to create peace for myself. I will try to put myself in a place where I can just have a little peace. I will do everything that I think I need to do because I just want some peace. A lot of people have gotten a divorce because they just wanted some peace. How many think that worked for them? No, probably not. No, no. I've known a lot of people that got a divorce because they wanted some peace and all they did was make more trouble. But they were doing their peace thing on their own. They figured it out. I'll get some peace. I'll just get rid of that woman. Yeah. Didn't work. Made it worse. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving." I love to preach about Thanksgiving. I did a 4-part series a couple years ago. I heard Bill Johnson, by the way, August 13th. If you can look it up and listen to it, it'll rock you good. Rocked me good. He preached on Thanksgiving as a weapon. It's good stuff. "With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. I want a peace that's not dependent on what I think or what you think. Because the problem is, a lot of times I don't have any peace because I don't think. And I'm not thinking like God, and I'm trying to create peace for myself, and he's trying to give me peace. Which do you think is going to work, mine or his? Exactly. And the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. I want you to stop peddling your puny peace. And I want you to grab a hold of the peace of God, because he has so much more for us. And by the way, the hope that he wants to give us is not a hope that leads to anything but peace. And the hope that he wants to give us is not that wishful thinking, oh, I wish this would end so I could have some peace. The hope that he wants to give us is the confident expectation of his good in our lives that leads to peace. But I haven't got to the practical stuff yet. I'm going to get there. Reading on in our text then. Though we also have access by faith, or through whom we also have access by faith into his grace in which we stand. I don't stand in anything that I've done for myself. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. Or as I've said so many times, and I just love this because it's the easiest way to remember it, mercy is when I don't get what I deserve, and grace is when I get what I don't deserve. I stand in the grace of God. I stand in his favor that I do not deserve. I don't stand in favor with man or favor with myself even. I stand, if I really want to stand firm, I stand in his favor with something that I didn't do anything to earn. Can't do it myself. And again, we don't earn this, but we try to walk in it. What do I mean by that? You'll see a little bit. We rejoice rejoice in the hope of glory of God. So through whom we also have access by faith into his grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. There's that glory word again. How many of you would like to have some more rejoicing in your life? Yeah, I would too. I like rejoicing. I like it when little kids rejoice, by the way. Have you ever seen little kids rejoice? Like they don't know that they're not supposed to get all wild and crazy. My granddaughter can do the simplest thing, and she's like, yeah! She talks a lot now. Nobody knows what she's saying. Pretty sure it's tongues. I've been praying for the interpretation. I haven't gotten it. It's a hacker thing, yeah. Okay, so we would like to rejoice more. Do you have a lot to rejoice about? Yep. Well, you probably do, but what if I could, like, open up a whole new category of rejoicing for you? Like, what if I could make, like, almost every moment of your life something to rejoice about?
Do it.
You ready? Okay, here we go. Sometimes we struggle with the stuff that's going on in a way that the Bible says we don't have to. And it can be hard to rejoice when we don't have the hope that we need to have. Does that make sense? In other words, if I'm not expecting good, it's hard to rejoice. If I don't have the confident expectation of good, then my attitude is, well, you know, just stuff. Just got to put up with stuff. Just the way life is. This is hard. And there are hard days. There's hard things during the days. The days aren't hard. How many know your hard day can somebody else be somebody else's vacation day? The day was fine. It's just how we handled the day or how the day handled us. So now is where we get ready to start the clear path to hope. In this text, because it says, and not only that, we also glory in tribulations. Now, this is where it gets a little interesting, I think, anyway. I like these kind of studies, and maybe I'm a little geeky. But we saw the word glory in verse 2, and then we're seeing it again in verse 3. In verse 2, it was that word doxa, which meant the glory of God. And in this section, in verse 3, it's the word kacheomei, which means glory being given to God. But I'm going to help you understand giving glory to God a little bit better. Because we were reading, and I'm going to have you read along with me when I say kacheomei and doxa as I read it. Because you're going to catch something extra if you can pay attention. So go to the beginning of verse 2. I'm going to begin to read at verse 2. And I'm going to use the word kacheomei. And I'm going to use the word doxa. And I want you to see something in the translation of it that you probably can't see unless I do it this way. I'm hoping this works for you anyway. Through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And kacheomei in the hope of doxa, the doxa of God. What? Wait, what? Did I see the word glory there? I put the word kacheomei in. We kacheomei in the hope of the doxa of God. And not only this, but we also kacheomei in tribulations. One place it's translated rejoice, and the other place it's translated glory. Kacheomei can be translated different ways because of what it really means. Did you see it? We rejoice in the glory of God, but we also rejoice in tribulations.
I don't know what he's talking about.
We what? He wants me to what? Paul wants us to what? Paul wants us to what? Rejoice in tribulations? Paul, come on, man. If you look at verse 3 in other translations, you see the word tribulations is also translated hardships, pressure, trouble, afflictions, and distress. How many of you know people, maybe just one person even, who rejoices over the stress in their lives? I'm so stressed out. Hallelujah. Is that the way Americans do? Do you know any Americans who are stressed, and when they're stressed, in the middle of their stress, they're just rejoicing? Oh, right! I've got stress today. I've been looking forward to this. This is going to be good. I got some stress. Wow. But the question is, what if they did? Or maybe the better question is, what if we did? Or maybe the better question is, what if I did? What if I could rejoice when I was under stress? Or what if I chose to rejoice when I was under stress? We are at the entrance of the clear path to greater levels of hope. Right here. This is where we step into it. I'm going to step in to a path that will take me to a greater level of hope, and I do so by rejoicing when I'm stressed out. I don't know how to do that. Well, maybe I do. But it's not my first inclination. Right or not, here we go. That idea of rejoicing when you're under stress is counterintuitive to the way most humans think. We don't rejoice in the hard stuff. What do we do, by the way, when we have hard stuff? What do?
Complain.
Ding, 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 ding. Give this man a cigar. We complain. Isn't that interesting? The Bible says, here's how you get to, and we're going to get to hope at the end of this. We start to walk into this path, and instead of walking down this path where we rejoice in our hardships, what do? We take a left turn and we complain. I can't believe I have to work with this person every day. Do you know what he said to me? I can't believe she looked at me that way. This job is hard. It's just so hard. We have all these things that we can say out of our mouths when we're under hardship, distress, tribulation. But what if we said things that gave glory to God and were rejoicing? You're gonna get some more of this. Here we go. Philippians 2:14, by the way, says, do all things. Everybody say all things. Without complaining and disputing. All things. It doesn't say do the things you like without complaining. It doesn't say do some things without complaining and then you can complain about the rest. All things. Dang. I don't want to have to do all things. I don't want to have to even preach this. Why? See how easy it is to slip into that? It is. It's just easy to just grumble and mumble and murmur. Is it even possible to do all things without complaining? Do you know anybody who has ever done everything without complaining? No, you don't. Just Jesus. He's the only one. That all things thing is really interesting because the same Greek phrase appears a bunch of places. Here's one of them, Romans 8:28. And we know that, one version says in, I like that, in all things, God works together for the good of those who are the called according to his purpose. Do you know, and do you believe, even more importantly, maybe you heard it before, but you don't have it and you know her. Do you know that you know that you know that in all things, not just some things, in all things, not the things themselves don't work for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose, but do you know that in all things God works for those who love him and are the called according? So no matter what's happening, and then God maybe didn't do it, maybe the devil even did it, but God's like, yeah, no problem. I can fix that. I can take care of that. In fact, I'm going to use that for your good. There you go, devil. Sticks his tongue out of the devil and just loves on you in the middle of your mess and turns that mess into a fantastic mission that you get to go on. Turns that mess into a message where you can give hope to others. So if God's working in all things, then maybe I have a reason to rejoice when things aren't working out the way I wanted them to. Maybe I have a reason to rejoice when things aren't going the direction I thought they should go. Maybe I have a reason to rejoice when God's up to something that I can't quite figure out yet, but I, instead of telling God how crummy my situation is, or even more, telling all my friends and family and Facebook people how crummy my situation is, maybe I should be rejoicing. I today can quite easily rejoice over Barbie breaking up with me and Julie breaking up with me and Joy breaking up with me and Janie breaking up with me. I had a bunch of J girls. And I'm glad they all broke up with me because I was like zeroing in on them thinking this might be the one, this might be the one, and then they broke it off. I am so glad they did because Lisa was the one for me. Told that testimony to the youth and to you too many times, but it's just a big deal because I kept praying, God, if this is not your will, don't let it work out. Why did you let her break up with me? Whining and complaining when I should have been rejoicing. And now I rejoice. They do too, by the way. Lisa's like, yeah, Lord, wait a minute. No, no, she doesn't. Why me, God?
Tribulation.
Tribulation. We're going to have our 45th anniversary next weekend. Yeah. And she thought the tribulation was only 7 years. So,
yeah. 70 times 7.
Yeah, 70 times 7. Okay. Right here explains, right here in Romans 5, explains how in all things God works to the good, because we rejoice in stuff that we wouldn't normally want to rejoice in. And it's super powerful when we do. It's super powerful in our lives when we start to rejoice in the stuff that we don't want to rejoice in. So we glory in hardships because doing so produces something good. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Wow! There's a cool thing. We rejoice in the face of the stuff that's not easy to rejoice in, not for everything, but in all things. We rejoice, and when we rejoice in our tribulations, it starts to create something in us. This thing it creates says in this version, perseverance. It's also translated in other versions, endurance, steadfastness. How many of you want to be steadfast? How many of you want to have a little bit of endurance? How many of you get weary of people who don't have any endurance? Don't have any steadfastness? They just kind of flippity-flop around, got the spine of a wet noodle. You can't depend on them for anything because they don't have any endurance. Another word that we might use in the modern vernacular, I did not find it in any Bible versions I looked at, but tenacity. It's what a lot of people lack. It seems like it's really even worse today maybe than it's been. How many of you know places where they can't get the workers to show up half the time? You can't depend on them. This is a problem. No one admires a quitter, but everybody applauds someone who has the ability to push forward, not give up, and not give in. People who hang on and keep going. See, that rejoicing that you do in your tribulation produces this ability that I think every one of us want to have. I want to have it. I want to have more of it. The more of it I have, the better my life's going to be. So I want this perseverance thing, this hanging on, to be inside of me. And then it goes on to say, and perseverance, character. Or the implication is, perseverance produces character. The word character is also translated as experience and approval in some of the other Bible versions. It's used in connotation in other places with the word trust. People who have develop that perseverance that then turns them into somebody that has character are the kind of people you can depend on, the kind of people who become powerful and influential and do great things. They accomplish what they set their mind to do. They accomplish what they should be doing. They listen to the voice of the Lord and they aim at things and they succeed. You know, there are a ton of people out there trying to tell you how to succeed. We didn't use the word in the scripture. It doesn't say how to succeed, but this is talking about success. This is what this is really boiling down to. Think about it. This is the pathway to success. How many of you noticed it was stinking hot last week? Yeah, it was. And if your air conditioning was not working and you had to call someone to come and fix it, I think you wanted someone who was approved and experienced and knew which end of the screwdriver to use. That's what this word character is all about. People that, again, you can depend on, you can lean into them and expect a good result. God wants us to each be those kind of people. I'm sorry, but you can't get there from here unless you start down the path that I'm giving you this morning from this passage. So you start with rejoicing when things aren't easy. And that strengthens you to become a person of character, so that when people look around, they see a person of character. Is this making sense to anybody but me? All right, I told you this was a good message today. Prophesied it. You know, there are people who try to carry hope, and there are people who carry a certain amount of hope. But the person who's going through this process and has been through this process has the perseverance and character to carry hope better than a person who just reads a few verses and quotes them to you. This hope becomes, this person becomes a person who radiates real hope because they've learned to glory in adversity. This kind of person talks more about the promise than they do the problem. Which one am I? That's the question you should ask yourself. I won't ask you. I won't put the pressure on you. Well, maybe I should put the pressure on you because the pressure is good for you. If you glory in the pressure I put on you, then you'll develop some perseverance. I don't want all the pressure. Sorry, sweetheart. God loves you too much to let you off without pressure. How many of you ever had a pressure cooker? Well, they used to make them. People used to use them, and they made the stuff inside really tender. Because under pressure, some certain things can happen that can't happen otherwise. When Satan brings stress to this kind of person, what do? They make him miserable for bringing that stress. Yeah. They make him miserable because he brings the stress and they bring the glory. He brings the stress and they start rejoicing. He brings the stress and he can't even listen to their response. He has to get out of Dodge. I remember Chris Volatin talking about that. He went through a lot of stuff when he was a young man. There was some seasons of mental illness, real hard stuff, and he overcame a lot of it, and then he got to the point where, I remember he said one time, he says, I just learned to just sit down, pull up a chair, and start worshiping the Lord. And he said, Satan would sit down in the chair and start accusing me. I'd start worshiping the Lord, and I'd say, oh, where are you going? Satan had to get up and leave. Start worshiping God, praising him in the spirit and in your understanding. Make the devil miserable. And character produces, doesn't say produces, but character hope. Character produces hope. Not, again, not I wish this would happen, but I have confidence that God is doing something amazing. Not, oh, I hope so, but I have this absolute assurance that God is going to make something out of my mess. Even if I made the mess, he's going to make something out of my mess. Isn't that good to know? Aren't you glad that you can mess up? That was already said this morning in communion, wasn't it? You can mess up, and God still makes something out of your mess. That's so good. So good. Now, hope does not disappoint. I like not being disappointed. I don't know about you. Maybe you really enjoy disappointment. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I already said it, but that Holy Spirit's given to us, and he's given to us to help us so that we can move right into this path that causes us to rejoice in the face of the hardship that then brings us into a place of endurance, that then brings us into a place of character where we become the kind of person that God wants us to be so that we can carry the level of hope that this world desperately needs. The world desperately needs some hope. So I'm thinking about doing something here, and when I'm done preaching, we probably won't do it on the live stream. I'll dismiss the live stream at some point, but we can literally stop being disappointed and start being the appointed, trusted ones. And we will have the ability to handle anything. Anything. I can handle it. So instead of standing there going, I'm going to lose it. Ah! We'll be like, hallelujah. I don't need to worry about losing it because he's got it. He's got it. I know you've got it, Lord. I don't know how this is going to work, but you've got it. I praise you. I worship you. I thank you. By the way, just do that in front of somebody when you're going through some stress. You'll freak them so far out, they won't know what to do with themselves. Like, what? You lift your hands and start praising the Lord. It's not illegal to speak in tongues. Just start giving God glory when they know that you're miserable. When they know that what's happening isn't working for you. Got the wrong burger at McDonald's. Oh, Jesus, thank you. These sweet people are going to fix my burger. I just praise you, Lord. We just rejoice in all things. Not for all things, again, but in all things we rejoice. So today I was thinking, when we get to the end of this service, after live stream, sorry, I'll give you one example, and then you can start doing it around your friends if you're watching by the live stream or recorded later or something. This is what I call pre-testimony. I don't know that we've said a whole lot about pre-testimonies. I don't know that I ever even used the term before. But I came up with this idea, pre-testimony. And I remember a really good pre-testimony. Some of you remember Jim Baker. He's been here and spoken before. He's got the church in Powell, Ohio, north edge of Columbus. And he was up preaching one day. I listen to a lot of preachers, by the way. You should avail yourself of all the good podcasts and pre-recorded messages and turn those on and encourage yourself in those things. But anyway, and we have them too. We send them out every week, by the way, so if you miss something, catch up. It's good. Jim was preaching one morning, and he had really not been at Zion very long, I think, at this point. And he had moved from, I don't know, someplace in the Carolinas, I think. And they had a house down there they hadn't sold yet. And they were wanting to sell it when some kind of problem came up. I don't remember what the problem was exactly. And, you know, he's in Powell, Ohio. He's got a physical problem with the house in wherever it was. And he's trying to figure out what to do. And he gets up on a Sunday morning and he just decides that he's going to share. He says, hey, I did a prayer request. We've got such and such an issue with our house and we don't know what we're going to do with it exactly. And just be praying for that. But then he says, so just that short. Just be praying for that. But I got to tell you, this is where he went. But I got to tell you, God is good. And God is good, and he takes care of us. He takes care of his children. And I don't know what he's going to do with this, whether this is supposed to change something in me or he just wants to show me how good he is or what he's going to do. But I give him glory because he's going to do something great. He's going to do something amazing. I don't know how. I don't know what. I don't know when. But God's going to take care of this. And he went on like that at least three times as long as he said, we have a problem in the house in the Carolinas, wherever it was. He went on longer giving glory. He recognized the problem, but he didn't whine about it. He didn't complain about it. He says, we just got this thing. But God's going to do something amazing. And I think it was like 3 weeks later, he got up and shared the testimony again of how God took care of it. It seems like the real estate agent or somebody offered him more for the house with the problem, like a furnace or whatever was wrong, offered him more for the house than he thought he was going to get. Anyway, it sold, and the problem went away, and God took care of it. Yeah, that's a pre-testimony. That wasn't, oh, when God finally did something, I'll tell you about it. He was giving God glory before it even happened. He was rejoicing in God for what God was going to do, even though he hadn't seen anything done yet. Wow. I will share one more. I still have a fat ring finger. I'd like to get my ring that got cut off when I fell 7 weeks ago. And I was riding a hoverboard. So, guy your age shouldn't be on a hoverboard, doofus. Yeah, well, that's beside the point. I did learn something. But anyway, I want to get my ring on. We're having our 45th wedding anniversary. I don't like not having my ring on. I've worn my ring for almost 45 years. I like my ring, and it's got a big cut in it, and they can fix it, but they can't fix it until I can get it back on my finger anyway, and I don't want to have them fix it, and then it's too small, and then so I don't know. I don't know what God's doing, but you know what? I'm not complaining, because actually, I'm pretty excited that I actually have been playing guitar. Like, it happened on a Saturday, and I had to play Sunday morning and Sunday evening that week at a thing up in Pioneer. And it's amazing. It's stiff, and it's a little uncomfortable sometimes, but I've been doing everything I need to do with a fat finger. And I just give glory to God. Somehow, I don't know what it's going to take for this thing to get right. Oh, and I give glory to God because my insurance covered most of it. Not all of it. I give glory to God because I had the money to pay the bill. Glory to God. And I don't know what's going to happen yet because I went in and had an x-ray the other day. Just to double check to make sure there wasn't something else. After they pulled it back in place, they didn't take the second x-ray to see that it was okay. So now I got to take a second x-ray and make sure there's not something in there. But how many of you know God's up to something good? He's with me. I'm just going to say it ahead of time. I don't know how it's all going to turn out, but God's up to something good. And he's working something in me. Patience, probably. How many of you like patience is your favorite thing? Couple. I like it. I like it. Just wait. God will take care of it. So I thank God. I give glory to God that I'm blessed. Even if I couldn't give glory to God, even if my finger wouldn't work to where I could say, yeah, I can still play, I can still give glory to God, couldn't I? I could just say, God's going to do something good. I'm going to trust him to do something good. So I'm going to pray for you. Because this is something that God needs to give into our hearts. It's something he needs to put in there. Because our hearts probably have a default thing that they do in the face of tribulation. The default might be complaining. I'm going to pray that God removes the default. And your default mode is no longer complaining when things don't go the way you want them to go. But your new default mode will be, I see something, I start to complain, I stop complaining, and I turn around and I give glory to God. Until I get to the point where my default changes from complaining to giving glory to God. You talk about a bunch of powerful people. There may not be that many people here, but there are more than the 12 that Jesus had. And look what they did. They turned the world upside down. Let's just change where we go and where we walk and where we talk and where we live. Let's just change that. Let's just turn that upside down. So, Father, I pray right now for everyone in this room who's heard this message and everyone who might hear it live streaming or after the fact, watch it on YouTube or maybe get the podcast off our website. I just pray, Lord, that we will have a transition that causes us to move into tribulation, into hardship, into pressures and stresses and all the things that we experience, Lord. I pray that we'll change how we handle those things and that in so doing, it will become a path to great hope as you change, as we go through those things, as you change our ability to bear up underneath of it, as you give us strength and strengthen us as we do bear up underneath of it, and as we glorify you in it, so that our character becomes changed, so that we become the most hopeful people on the planet. Because why shouldn't we be, Lord? We have you. Who could have more hope than is available to us? So we thank you, Father, for working that in each one of us. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.